Welcome, everyone, to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today. We're very happy to see you today on this very beautiful Sunday. First, I want to welcome our guest minister today. It's Dr. Reverend Paige Creech. She's an ordained minister in the PCUSA. She's a graduate of Furman University in her home state of South Carolina and holds a doctorate ministry degree from Princeton Theological Seminary. I bet she knows John White.
Yes.
She resides in the North Hills of Pittsburgh with her husband, Reverend Jerome F.D. Creech, professor of Old Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, and her 14-year-old son, Davis. Her daughter, Adair, is a senior at the University of Oregon, completing studies in environmental science, English, and French. So please welcome Reverend Creech today. So I have a couple of announcements. First is there's a deacon meeting after the church in the library, and donation letters for vendors are on the back of the table. We're looking for any items for our Chinese auction at the pig roast on September 7th. That's coming up soon. It's a tactic. If a tax-exempt form is needed, please see Kathy Sagey. Fanning of the books in the sanctuary will be done on August 17th. And the food bank, along with back-to-school campaign, is in need of lunchbox items. See Kathy for any questions. Now, the next is from Verna, as head of the Women's Association. I'm not me. She really wants to thank everyone and all the ladies and gentlemen who came out and gave their all in cleaning the kitchen. This is a very difficult and dirty job, and she just wants to thank everyone and how much she appreciates all the work they did. So thank you all very much coming out, cleaning out the kitchen. I appreciate it. Verna says there's a Women's Association meeting after church also. Are you meeting in the library or someplace else? You and the deacons can fight for the library. I'll let you work it out. Okay. A reminder that Shop for the Cause is coming up on the 23rd of August. 100% of the ticket sales go to the church. The $5 passes are available by BJ. Is BJ here today? No. Debbie has the tickets today?
No, don't forget Debbie.
Don't forget Debbie. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. She's hidden right there by the podium. So Debbie Soa, who's our guest pianist today, in lieu of Mickey. So welcome, Debbie. It's always great to see you. Thanks, Carol. Appreciate that very much. So let's get started. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let's start with our hymn of praise, number 51, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
is gracious, merciful, full of steadfast love, and eager to hear us when we come to cry for help. Let us pray our prayer of confession together. God of grace and love, without your word, we have nothing to say. Without your spirit, we have no guide. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot find our good way. Give us your word and spirit, that we might proclaim the good news, live in justice with peace, and gratefully praise your name in what we say and do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give to God your personal conversation of repentance and renewal. O God, hear us when we name our sins, when we tell you our grievances, when we show forth our weaknesses, that you may be our strength. Have mercy on us. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please greet one another in the Spirit of Christ. sign of a spirit-filled church is when joy meets you at the door and hospitality reigns, and I have certainly felt that this morning from all of you. I thank you very much for the opportunity to worship God's people at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and I'm glad you don't mind the southern accent, that you're quite used to it. That's very helpful. All right, please join me today in the responsive reading number 678. God's goodness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Deliver us, God, our salvation, and gather and save us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to the Holy and glory for the other grace.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praised the Lord. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven.
For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?
You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
What man of you, if he asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving.
Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Amen.
Good morning. I have a praise request here from Lorraine Kelly, and this is a little similar to Verna's, but she says she has a lot of praise for all the women and for Brian, who helped clean the kitchen this past week and apparently spent a lot of very warm hours in the kitchen. So thank you so much. She said there is a sign-up sheet on the back table for some utensils and small items that are needed for the kitchen if you would like to sign up and help provide some of these items. That would be very helpful. I have a prayer request from Kathy Segi for Mary Ann. She is a neighbor, and she has a cancer has returned in her lung. She just found out that it's a very aggressive type. So she needs prayers of comfort for the pain and symptom control, and that her faith stays strong, and that the doctors and medical staff has his guiding through them. There is also a praise request from Kathy for Dr. Matt Joseph and those who sent cards and calls for the congregation and for a doctor. Praise of thanks to all of you who visited, prayed for me, and called during my hospital stay. I'm requesting special praise for Dr. Joseph. He caught a very significant but ever so slight blood clot in her leg and was able to take care of that before it caused a problem. And there's also a prayer request for Mary Barrett, who was somebody that Kathy met in the hospital while she was staying there. And she asked for prayers that her anxiety level decreases and that she gets well and obtains peace and comfort, knowing that the Lord is looking over her and that people are praying for her. May she start living with an attitude, it is what is, you can't change, so just deal with it. It is God's will, not ours. And she is now at St. Barnabas. Thank you.
Let us take these and others to God in prayer. God of heaven and earth, God of all creation, we have gathered in this special place to meet with sacredness, to meet with holiness, with power, with what is good, with so many joyful hearts singing your praise, and so many prayers of concern rising to your forefront of your care and your open arms. We add our voices first of thanksgiving and praise for all the blessings of our lives. Hear those today who are happy, who can count ways that you have blessed and kept and watched over them. We know that you are the one who comes to heal, to be by our side, to help us, to mend our broken hearts, to reduce our anxieties and send away our fears. We ask that you would lift up the weak who have been named here today and the sick. For all who call upon your name at any time of the day or night, that they receive power from your Spirit. We know that you are the one who searches human hearts, God, and that you know ours already, our own weaknesses, our own struggles. And we ask that you would help us to deal with our temptations and fears and needs. God, hear every sigh in this place. Grant us courage to love the way we have read this morning, that you call us to love perfectly. Help us with our neighbors, our homes, in our families, at work, within this country and outside of this country, between and among the nations. Hear all who call out in distress in a wonderful, terrible world. Anyone who is sleepless in unmet needs or under stress or in harm's way or in the way of war, held back by financial burdens, in grief from death of a beloved, help them, calm them, and assure them. End the thirst and the hunger of your people and set all free. God of hope, do save us from the ravages of war, even within ourselves. We pray today for children and spouses and countries and people who do not enjoy the morning and the beautiful day and the peace that we do. Breathe on all who languish in their wounded states of where they live. Bring rain to drought places. May we learn from you what makes for peace so that it might start with us, and that it could be costly and very personal and risky and maybe lonely. Oh God, we who hang between heaven and earth, dark places and light places, we hope in you for more joy and for more laughter and more life as we pour it out in your name from this place as far as it will go. Bless these who have come here to fill up on you, who have come here to learn how to live through your glory. And grant that you would be with the pastor here as he deals with his mother, his father, his family back in the South. Bring him back here to do good ministry and service and love and fellowship here. We pray for Arlie, dealing with her family and her needs today, that you also would bless and keep her as she gives to this place. And all here who have given and who continue to and who make plans to share in generous ways. God, hear our prayers even when we don't know how to pray. Teach us to pray the way you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing. Be seated.
lives belongs to you, and everything that we have is only given from you to hold in our hands for the goodness of life. So for these gifts brought today by the joyful givers, let them multiply like loaves and fishes and return to the earth to fill it to the glory of your name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
The rabbi among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, at all entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay burden of all the people on me?" So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the servant, 70 elders of the people, and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied at the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, and Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, 'My lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them?'" This one is from John 6:25-34. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?"
Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for God that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval."
Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?"
Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent."
So they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from the heaven to eat.'"
Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
"Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Bless the reading and the hearing.
Please pray with me. God, still any voice in us but your own, that in your spirit and your word we might know you and gain life from you as we seek to follow. Amen. When you think of the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, I would invite you to remember three things. First, a journey. A real journey and a spiritual journey. Going toward freedom. Going from all that enslaves you to all the things that make you free. Moving to a better place. A journey. And then I would like for you to think, secondly, of your provisions all coming from God. Money either isn't there or it just won't do it. Your provisions come from God in the book of Numbers. And thirdly, think identity formation. The book of Numbers is about who the Israelites are and who they might become on their way as they follow God. And who is Moses, who is the leader of this people? Of what kind of stuff is he made? What gifts of God are in him? Now today in Numbers 11, it doesn't look too good. This is not the easy day that we see. This is the hard one. This is the one where faith and character are tested. You ever had a day like that? A day on the job? A day in the family? A day on the committee? A day with the deal that's going down? Well, on this stretch of the journey through the wilderness time to a land of great promise, they are all losing it. I mean the parents, in this case God and Moses, the parents, and the children. All of the children, we heard them read, are at the entrance of their tents. They're not out, and they're all crying. They are all complaining, and not for the good purpose of complaint, which is to get something to be better, but for just grumbling, just for murmuring, just for dreaming, but dreaming backwards, not forwards. Dreaming and trying to revert back to old days as if they were better, but they were not. No, the cucumbers and the leeks and the garlic and the melon and the fish, they were far from free. They were slaves in Egypt. But the children of Israel today want some meat. And the text says that God was angry and Moses was politely displeased. I don't like it when my mom's displeased. Look out. God's gift is wilderness bread. It's called manna. This is not what they want. Though in Hebrew, the word manna means literally, what is this? They say that manna was pretty tasty. Manna was a flaky substance. It was common in the Sinai Peninsula. It came down falling every morning like dew. It never failed like God's provisions do not. But for one thing, the children are tired of it. You know, say your prayers, go to church, eat your greens, have your manna, you know. And for another thing, it just didn't seem like much, this manna stuff. Not very high in carbs. It's not your strength train and move through the desert energy food. But this was the food for the time when you find yourself in the desert of your life, trying to find your way forward, trying to get to a better day. And you may not like it, but it is there for you. It is there to move you forward well. Bread for your journey. Eat it. Bread for your way to provide. But right now, the children want meat. God is not happy. So what does God do? Now you have to have a sense of humor here because it's written into the text. Because God in the next couple of chapters is going to send in quail. So many quail on the wind that they are going to start complaining about all the quail. They are going to hate all the meat. It's like a harvest of zucchini and tomatoes so great that you can't find a way to make enough relish and sauce and give it to enough people to get rid of it. And what does Moses do? Moses says an honest prayer. Moses throws up his hands, not where the children can see him in exasperation, but before God, where all things can be revealed. And he throws up his hands to God, and we get to hear him in a meeting with God, and he lets it rip. It was read. Lord, why are you treating me, your servant, so badly? What have I done? Haven't I been good? They want meat in the desert? Where in heaven's name am I going to find meat in the desert? Lord, these are not my kids. These are your kids. Why did you put this burden on me? You brought me out here. What is up? Very honest prayer. Maybe you pray like this at times and wonder if it's okay. And it is, because God already knows and wants your heart. But I do hate it when I talk like this. Pity me. Why me? This can't be my responsibility. How did I land in such a place? Is this really where God wants me to be? But this talk with God helps Moses get clear. It helps him to sort of vent in the right place, unload in the right way. And then he can see more clearly his way forward. And God sends help. God says, get 70 elders, gather them up, and two more, Eldad and Medad. And I will put some of my spirit on them, and you will not bear this burden alone. Now, what I want to know first is, who put these two names on the baby names list in ancient Israel? I mean, Eldad, Medad, come on. But I digress. Bread, prayers, help. The church is given by God to the world for help on the way, help in the journey. God's provisions are you. I tell you all of this because no matter what kind of good work you are doing, and I've already heard in the announcements that there's plenty here, what cause you have taken up, what you are holding up, what is on your plate or has fallen over the edges of it, we will find ourselves here at some time trying to lift a load off the ground, trying to hold up under the weight that seems too much, trying to move forward and we don't know if we can. We are confused, we're upset, we complain, we get stuck, we're stalled, we're stopped. We think we can't do it. We think God's dream is too big. We think the future is so unclear. The work is too much. And how many times could you just drop it and say, I'm walking away. Forget the dream of God, except for the blessing in it. I know a man who wanted to quit on the school that they were funding through his church. He was a big part of that, in part of Pittsburgh, for the most least likely to succeed. But all the contentious meetings and all the money that seemed wasted, but the low student success rate so far. Except that he knows that this is the fruit of his highest and his best work he'll ever do. I know a woman who says someday she'd like to kick her husband to Timbuktu and lock the kids out. Except that the marriage and the kids, they mean too much. I know a man who thinks of just being free. Except that he knows he holds the light of his life. So maybe God's provision is more hands to lighten the load. And maybe it's for more good-spirited people to surround you. Maybe it's a good long prayer to figure it out. Maybe it's to deal with the whining days. That's what you have. Someone to talk and walk with you. Someone to laugh and cry with you. Someone to help you hold on to the vision and see it through and keep your peace in your soul. That is what God is providing today for the Israelites. Although there is the mother who asked her son for help, and some guests were coming over for dinner, and the mother said, "Johnny, would you please pray before we eat together?" And Johnny said, "At first, no, mother, I don't know that I can do that." And the mother encouraged him, "Yes, you can, Johnny, just say what I say." "Okay," and Johnny prayed, "Dear God, what were we thinking when we invited these people over?" You see, sometimes the help isn't going to be all that you had in mind. But this text helps all of us, because you, like me, have some calling on your life, something hard to do sometimes, something high you want to hold up that seems bigger than you are. You all know, or if you live long enough, you will know, a desert time. And always, at these times, most of all, that is when you feel God's provisions. How God provides, you will learn what is the essence of your life. You will learn the strength, the shield, the power that holds you up in the dark. And that is why Jesus says in John 6, as we read today, after the feeding of the 5,000 on Galilee, by the river, by the lake, and he helps them, and the words he says make them follow him, and then they're hungry, and he feeds them all. They follow him across the lake and find him again because they are hungry for more of what fills the human body and the mind and the spirit. And Jesus says, "Do not work for the bread that perishes. Work for the bread that endures. Work for the bread that leads you to life everlasting, eternal life. Work for that which the Son of Man will give to you if you believe, if you will have it." It was not Moses who gave you the bread from God in the wilderness that gives life to the world. The bread that gives life to the world comes from the Father, from heaven, that makes you hunger no more. "I am the bread of life," he says. And they say, "Sir, give us this bread always." "Yes, we do." How is it that Jesus Christ is the bread of life for the world? How is it that this is bread for the journey? How is it that this is light for your way? It is very difficult to describe bread for the journey, bread that endures. But there is an artist named Richard Holdman and his brother, who is a photographer, and they have helped us to think about this on YouTube in a video called "An Interview with God." It's been viewed by millions of people, passed around the world, because it feeds people on a real journey, on a spiritual journey. There is beautiful music. And then there are these ice-capped mountain pictures, sunflowers all over. And then the words appear, "I imagined I had an interview with God." "So you would like to interview me?" "If you have the time," I said. "My time is eternity. What would you like to know?" A flute plays, a piano plays like Debbie played. Two white lilies open up before you. "What surprises you most about humankind?" And God answered, "That they get bored with childhood and grow up, and then they long to be children again. That they lose their health to make money, and then they lose their money to try to restore their health." Trees appear, golds, greens, reds, that by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget the present, such that they live in neither the present nor the future. Then a clear sky at dusk and a wispy full moon, such as we have seen the last few nights, that they live as though they will never die, and they die as though they have never lived. And then the Grand Canyon with water and rocks all surrounding and flowing. God's hand took mine, and we were silent for a while. And then I asked, as a parent, what are some lessons that you would like your children to learn? God replied with a smile, to learn that it is not good to compare themselves with others, that they cannot make anyone love them, but they can let themselves be loved. That a rich person is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. Cupcake flowers hang down and they drip in the morning in the dew. That it only takes a minute to open profound wounds in a human being, and it takes years often to heal them. To learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. That they may be forgiven by others, but they must learn to forgive themselves. To learn that there are people who love them dearly, but do not know how to show them this. That two people can look at the same thing and see it differently. And finally, Bryce Canyon in Moab, Utah, sunbeam shafts falling through the clouds. Thank you for your time, the interviewer said humbly. Is there anything else you would like your children to know? Yes, God said, that I am with you always to save you. So, ask always for this bread of life that comes from God through Jesus Christ to you in all these ways: word, filling, spirit, creation, with you. Hide your life in God. Rest your bones in God. Hope in God. Pray for help whenever you need it, for whatever you need it for. For God's Spirit to be in you and in the people around you and not to leave you. For the wisdom from above that you know because of your daily and your weekly feedings on this bread of life, this Jesus Christ. For every wilderness time that you have had, are in, or will have, for all the decisions you are going to make, for everything you will say, for all that you do, may the provisions of God for you and yours always be near you. Amen. I think we sing. Hymn 349. Thank you.
are the people of God, go out now to love and serve the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and grant you his peace from this day forth and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.